Good evening and welcome along to The Score with me, Mark Gallagher, with you right through until 8 o'clock. It is a busy weekend on the sporting front here in the Northwest. Tonight on The Score, we'll be looking ahead to the National Senior Athletics Championships with our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal. We will also be looking ahead to Donegal's All-Ireland quarter-final clash with Louth in Croke Park on Sunday. Former Donegal stalwart John Gilday will be previewing the weekend's GAA action with Oisin Kelly. But first, we'll look at the soccer scene as the League of Ireland returns after last week's break. Finn Harps will look to pick up 3 points on the road in the First Division tomorrow night as they make the trip to Bottomside, Longford Town. Let's hear now from Harps, former Harps skipper Declan Boyle, who's been speaking with Chris Ashmore.
Well, Declan, League of Ireland action returns and Finn Harps in action this Friday away to Longford. First of all, maybe just your thoughts on this mini summer break, Euros or no Euros. It's been there the last few seasons. Are you a fan of it?
If you're going well, you don't want a break. And probably if you're not going so well, maybe you have a lot of injuries in your squad, it gives you an opportunity to get players back fit and well and ready for the resumption afterwards, you know. I'm not sure about the Thursday nights. There's been obviously a Thursday night before the break, and there's a Thursday night obviously as well next week, you know. And I just don't know with that one, like, you know, because obviously the UCD and Harps match was at that, and you know, the crowds are very, you know, weren't as big as they'd normally be. They're playing UCD at home on a Friday night, you know. So I'm just not 100% convinced about changing the game. And just because the Euros potentially is on, they might change it. And I just don't know if that's the right way to go or not, you know. But yeah, listen, I suppose it's an opportunity now. It's great to get back in. Players obviously have a break. Someone go away for 3 or 4 days. Not that long of a break for players, but it's a chance to get players fit and well and, you know, motivated for the rest of the season.
So Finn Harps have 15 games left. They're in fifth place, one of the playoff spots. It looks like Cork are going to run away with things. 11 points clear at the top. UCD in second on 35. Bray and Athlone 31. Harps 30. And then a little gap to Wexford on 26. Cove 25. Treaty 24. Would you be of the opinion that, you know, Cork are going to win it and UCD are probably number two, and after that it's a bit of a scrap?
Yeah, listen, I was there obviously last week against UCD, and I know Sean Donnell obviously got sent off very early and made it very difficult for Harps, and they kind of grinded it out in front of them. They're very resilient on the night, and, you know, but before that, obviously, UCD were in full control of the game even before the sending off. You know, they kept the ball very well and were hard to play against, and, you know, so it's very hard to see them not making second. Obviously, we know Cork, with the budget they have, the quality of players, they've been playing well all season. They've got big results when they needed them, and even when they haven't played well, they still got big results. So that, you know, we all knew at the start of the season that was an automatic place, and they would go and win it, you know. So now it's, you know, the exciting part probably is below that, where you probably have, you know, your Braves, you say 31, Athlone have done very well this year. We're down near the bottom of the table last year. 31 points, obviously Harps. So I made a big improvement this season with 30 points, and you say Wexford 26. So, you know, there's a lot to play for there. And the most important part is that, you know, Harps still keep getting results. Worry about their own performances, worry about their own results, and stay in that area, because it'd be nice to get the playoff at the end of the season. And give us, you know, fans something to come back into Finn Park. And, you know, you never know in playoffs how it could bounce for you. And, you know, you could end up getting into the final of the playoff, and that's just, you know, maybe it's a wee bit premature, but it still would be very good to get the playoffs. And obviously with the playoffs is a few extra pounds for the club as well coming near the end of the season, which would be very welcome by the board, I would think. But, you know, listen, the performances have been up and down this season. I suppose they're playing Longford away, and they've beaten Longford already twice this season, so, you know, Longford aren't going well bottom of the table. You know, but there'll still be, you know, a proper good fight up in Longford, and it'll still be not an easy match. Perhaps should have enough to overcome them on the night.
Is it probably as good a fixture away from home as you could get coming back from the break?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is. You know, it's probably one of the shortest journeys they have to make as well, which, you know, just shows you the amount of travelling that they have to do in the league. So it's not a bad fixture. It's a good facility to go to, a good pitch as well. It's, you know, good surface, nice and wide, and quite a big pitch as well. So it's a really good place to go and play. And the results, Harps' results of late have been very, very good down there, and they got results against them. So, and they're not going so well. But I would say probably with a new manager coming in the next while as well, I would think that they'll probably look to you know, sign a few players from maybe from some of the squads in the Premier League and get a bit more experience in there, and they'll probably push on. But you know, it's a great opportunity for Harps to go there and get 3 points and get off to a good positive start after the restart.
Darren Murphy, the FinHarps manager, has mentioned on a number of occasions, you know, just how little there is between most of the teams in the division. And you know, I was just looking, Declan, at the last five matches, and you know, teams seem to get a little mini run, but nobody's really got, apart from Cork, a really good sort of stretch of unbeaten games. And just on the last five matches, the two form teams are actually Bray and Treaty United. Treaty had a great start to the season. Then they really struggled. Now they've picked up a few points, but they're still third bottom. And Bray, again, they made a slow start. They were drawing a lot of matches. They've got 10 points from their last five games. Wexford have actually got 2 points out of their last five. So, you know, if you can put together a run now as we sort of enter the third or heading towards the last quarter of the season, it's important to get that little bit of momentum.
It is. It definitely is. You know, and to bring that towards the end of the season as well, so you can go four or five matches, you know, with ones, and that makes a difference. Like, it's okay getting a draw on a one, but if you can add, you know, 3 points with three more points to another one, that makes a hell of a difference for sure. And if you can get four or five of those in the bounce, and that's the key. I suppose you're looking at the teams are very close, and sometimes it comes down to maybe having one or two of your key players not available or injured. And that can make the difference, especially away from home. They're the difficult ones, obviously. And, you know, this League of Ireland has always been difficult away from home. It's no different than the Premier League as well. A lot of teams, you know, are taking points off each other, regardless of where they are. So it's similar in the First Division, barring Cork. You know, the rest of the teams are all struggling. You know, we mentioned UCD sitting at 35 points, but you know, they've drawn, I think, the last six or seven matches, you know, they played apart from beating Kerry, you know, so, you know, they're in second, and you're thinking, okay, they should stay in second, but their form hasn't been great neither, like, you know, so teams, you know, are stumbling a wee bit, and nobody just taking control of it and pushing on like Cork City. But, you know, if you have a full complement of players, you have your best players on the pitch, you know, and that's either true suspension or true injuries, and if you can get all the best players on the pitch, especially Harps squad that they have, you know, because they are quite light at certain areas, and they get the best players on the pitch, it can make all the difference of getting 3 points or getting none, especially away from home.
Now, during the summer break, transfer window opened, there's been a little bit of movement amongst a number of clubs. From a Harps point of view, Sean O'Donnell away to the States on a scholarship. I didn't realise he'd made 51 appearances in a relatively short space of time. 7 goals, 14 assists. He'll be a big loss. Shane McMonagall has left due to other commitments. On a brighter note, Luke O'Brien, his loan deal has been extended from St. Patrick's Athletic. And then Harps have also lost Chris Lotifa back to Bohemians. He'd been on loan. So a little bit of movement, Declan.
Yeah, and you know, you'll probably see more of that too, Chris, would think over the next while. You know, I think Sean O'Donnell, I know obviously he got sent off, and there was a bit of a moment of madness against UCD, and up until then he actually was playing quite well. But, you know, he will be a loss because, you know, he's got real pace and he penetrates teams, and, you know, he likes to skip past players, and he can do that very easy, you know, so he will be a big miss to replace him, you know. So that'll be really interesting to see now who, you know, who the manager Darren Murphy can take in to fill that void as such, you know, because I know you mentioned he played a lot of games, but this season he's probably hasn't played as many games as I think he should have. I would definitely thought that with the quality that he has, we could have done him more times, but I don't know the background and how he's doing in training and that, but at times you would think that he should have been playing for me, anyway, my personal view, but yeah, he will be a miss, obviously, going to get his education, which is a great opportunity for him to go to America, and hopefully we'll see him back maybe in a FinHarp jersey in time to come. But yeah, listen, you know, the transfer window opens obviously in the start of July, so it'll be interesting to see now will Darren Murphy open up and sign a few more players. I think he probably could do more players on top end of the pitch, but they're not easy to come by, you know, and a bit more quality as well in front of goal would be good as well, just to ease that burden a wee bit. And success at a gun who's been quite good up there as well, so yeah, listen, it'll be interesting to see. And also, you know, more interesting will be the actually teams around us. Obviously UCD probably won't, might again one or two students that come in probably maybe in September time, but Bray, who will they sign? You know, Athlone, Wexford, you know, so it depends on teams around you, who, what sort of quality they can bring in now and when the transfer window opens up. But I suppose for Harps, is, you know, can we bring in an extra two or three players that'll keep us in that area and you know, get us an opportunity to get into the playoff, and then you never know what could happen. But
yeah, now just to mention the other fixtures this weekend, Athlone Town at home to Treaty United, Cove are against UCD at St Colman's Park, top of the table Cork meet third place Bray at Turner's Cross, and it's Kerry against Wexford. Finn Harps away to Longford Town. And just interesting to note, Declan, that after the Longford game, Finn Harps are at home to Kerry, that's scheduled for Thursday, July the 4th. Then they're away to Cork in the league, away to Cork in the FAI Cup, away to Treaty. So three big trips. They're at home just, again, not till the 2nd of August. So we're going up the space of 5 or 6 weeks, with just that game on 2nd of August is against Bray. So, you know, no doubt it'll put the usual strain on the club financially with all those away fixtures as well. And it just shows the demands of being in the First Division and the disadvantage Harps have because of location.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, geographically, it's definitely a disadvantage with the First Division. It's, I think I mentioned previously, it's probably more of a Connacht, or sorry, a Munster league, you know, so it's very, very difficult. Longford is the closest team to Finn Harps. So, I mean, they're difficult trips, you know, down to Cork twice, back-to-back. You know, obviously, the club might get some money out of the cup match, but, you know, it's an overnight stay, 3D as well, another long distance, you know, and no home gate as well. So, that, you know, that puts extra pressure on the resources of the club, you know, when you've no home gate and you're trying to, you know, pay obviously all your expenses and you know, pay, so obviously players' expenses and wages as well, and that puts extra pressure in the club, you know, so it's not ideal, but you know, that's, I suppose the idea is that, you know, you want to try to get out of this league and get into the Premier League where there's less travelling, but you know, it's still opportunities where, you know, this year the fans will probably love an opportunity to get a good cup run. Yeah, it's not an easy game away to Cork, but you know, we played Cork previously and we've done quite well against them, and times we probably should have beat them, you know, but yeah, so it'll be an interesting one, you know. But listen, it's really important, obviously, after the game against Longford on Friday night, they've got Kerry at home, and we haven't really done that well against Kerry, so it'll be really nice to get 3 points against Longford and then get 3 points at home to Kerry. That's long overdue, and then obviously bring that into to the away fixtures, and you know, if you can get 6 points starting off after the break, wouldn't that be a brilliant start to take you into the away fixtures?
Absolutely. Now let's turn our attention to the Premier Division. Shelburne, the leaders, I think Ali Coote has joined them. That's a big boost. Sean Boyd, there's been some concern about injuries that he's picked up. You know, is he going to be there throughout the season? You know, it's interesting to see his development. Declan, he came in at Harps. Ollie Horgan gave him a chance. He struggled initially, but he did get a lot of vital goals for Harps, and he's really stepped up to the plate at Shells.
He definitely has excelled. You know, I don't know if it was the full-time training. To be fair to Damien Duff and his squad of players, and you know, they're in really good nick in regards to their fitness levels. I always say that I think they're probably the best coach team in the league. He's got the best out of the players that are there, and probably, you know, if you look at the squad, player squad, they're probably not, you know, in paper the best squad, but they're probably one of the best teams in regards to their roles, and everybody knows exactly what their jobs are, and they complement each other so well on the pitch, and they're very, very hard working and well organised and structured. So, and Sean Boyd has definitely excelled. I mean, when I was at Harps, obviously there was times I just had a big question mark over his ability. He'd done a lot of running around, but it probably didn't, especially in the first year that Ollie had signed him, you know, I wasn't sure. He came from Shamrock Rovers, he was on loan for a while, so I wasn't sure. And then obviously, you know, he started scoring goals, and he got, you know, obviously from that he got a bit of confidence. But from his move up to Shelburne, he's been excellent, and you know, a real target man. It looks like he's a real threat, scores goals, you know, and caused a lot of problems. And it just shows you what confidence can do in a striker. You know, he looks like a player now. He's completely different than the player that came down many years ago to Harps. That full time training has really suited him, and similar to Mark Coyle as well. You know, when Mark Coyle went up there, captain at Shelburne, and he's just excelled, and probably one of the best. defensive midfielders in the league currently as we speak, you know. So it's no doubt about it that Damien Duff's getting the best out of his players.
So Shells in action against Galway at Tolka Park, and Galway have taken points off Shells. No doubt you don't expect a goals feast in that one. That could be tight.
You're absolutely right. I don't expect many goals. That'll be a 1-0 or two. Either way, it could go to Shelburne or to Galway United.
Now, Derry City at home to Drogheda United, a side who've given them a fair few problems over the last few years. Both sides have actually brought in players, but I think quite a few of them won't actually be eligible for this game. I see Derry had a game, I think it was against Crusaders there recently, and they won that. At home, you know, this is a game, it really is a must-win game for Derry.
Yeah, with, you know, keeping the pressure on, obviously, Shelburne earned 43 points and Derry in 41 of the game played as well. So, yeah, it's important. A home game against Drogheda, you're expecting them to go out and win 3 points. I've watched Drogheda a few times this year, and what I've noticed about them, they create chances. You know, they create chances, not taking their chances. They actually play well, and the performance has been very good, but just every now and again there's a moment of 5 minutes of madness or a mistake and they can see goals, you know, at a very, very easy rate. And, you know, I listened to Kevin Doherty, the manager there, recently in his last interview. You can actually see the frustration and in another way he was saying, like, you know, we're playing well but we're still losing games, and they're very disappointed. You know, he said, do a lot of work, but he did say that they're looking to dig in players for sure to strengthen up areas, you know. So there's not a lot going wrong, but there's just creating too many individual mistakes is causing goals and causing problems. And with the quality of players that Derry have now at their disposal, obviously they signed as well Jacob Davenport, another midfielder with that Man City connection with Patching and Diallo as well. So he's going to come on there to strengthen things, obviously, in the 1st of July. So with the quality that Derry have at home, I'm expecting them to get 3 points and probably 1-2-3-0.
Now, just briefly looking at the other fixtures, Dundalk at home to Waterford, and I saw a stat, Dundalk have had 8 clean sheets in 9 games at home, which is quite remarkable given where they were for so long at the start of the season. Waterford haven't been shy in terms of scoring goals, so that'll be a hard one to call. St. Pat's against Bowes, Dublin Derby, Ross Tierney back over on this side of the Irish Sea, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And Sligo have brought in Stephen Mallon. Shamrock Rovers, would it be fair to say, Declan, that if Shamrock Rovers lose to Sligo, they're beginning to face a little bit of a mountain to climb if they want to retain the title?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. You know, they're sitting one game less than Shelburne, and there's a difference of 12 points. And if, for example, if Shelburne go and beat Galway, and Sligo either get a draw against Shamrock Rovers or lose, I think the league's over for them. I really do.
That was former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle looking ahead to tomorrow night's game in Longford with Chris Ashmore. We will have live updates here on Highland of that game, so make sure to tune our way. In other First Division games tomorrow night, runaway leaders Cork City will look to pull further away at the Summit with a win at home to third place Bray Wanderers. Second placed UCD go to Cove. Playoff hopefuls Wexford travel to play Kerry, while Athlone Town host Treaty United. And just to go over the Premier Division fixtures tomorrow once again, Damien Duff's Shelburne side will look to continue their good form as they welcome Galway to Tolka Park. Derry City could go top if Shelburne are upset by Galway. Rory Higgins' side are in action against bottom club Drogheda at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. And the other two games tomorrow night will see Sligo host Shamrock Rovers at the Showgrounds, while St Patrick's Athletic and Bohemian will contest at Dublin Derby. After the break, we'll be looking ahead to this weekend's GAA action with John Gilday.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Yeah, welcome back to The Score this evening. We're going to now turn our focus towards GAA, and it's a big weekend at both local and inter-county level here in Donegal. It is, of course, All-Ireland quarter-finals weekend. Donegal making the trip to Croke Park under Jim McGuinness once again. Donegal play Louth in the capital on Sunday afternoon at 1:15. And you can tune Highlands Way from just after the 1 o'clock news on Sunday for live match coverage with Oisin Kelly, Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney. The other quarter-final on Sunday Sunday will take place at 3:15. That one's also in Croke Park to complete the doubleheader. That'll be Kerry against Derry. Before that, on Saturday, the first two quarterfinals will be contested in Croke Park also. Armagh face Roscommon at 4, while Galway enter the Lions Den to play All-Ireland champions Dublin. That one is at 6:15. To look ahead to Donegal's clash with Louth on Sunday, Oisin Kelly caught up with former Donegal midfield general John Gilday.
Well, John, looking ahead to the quarterfinals this weekend, and obviously from a Donegal perspective, what was your initial thoughts when you seen Louth would be the opponents this Sunday at Croke Park?
Well, I suppose if everybody was being honest, when you looked at the potential quarterfinal opposition, if you had, you know, asked for a quarterfinal, that's a quarterfinal you would ask for. And I suppose that therein lies the dangers. I was on the Brendan Devaney show, and I was last week before the draw, and I was saying it'd be great to get Louth. And we got what I wished for. But obviously with that comes all the pressures of being raging hot favourites and et cetera, et cetera. And as we've seen from the Cork game specifically, there's huge dangers around that, and it has to be managed correctly. But, you know, and that's no disrespect to Louth. They ran Dublin very close. They beat Cork, who beat us a couple of weeks ago. So they shouldn't be taken lightly. But from a purely selfish perspective, that's a draw you would have wanted.
But from a Jim McGuinness perspective, Jim doesn't take anybody too lightly or doesn't underestimate any opposition, John.
No, and that's true. And that'll be driven home. And that's what you want. But obviously, if you were looking at this, Galway would have been a much more difficult proposition on paper. But quarterfinals are there. You never know how they're going to turn out. Louth are going to come with a nothing to lose, from a nothing to lose position. They're going to come extremely excited because it's their first quarterfinal. They're going to come with huge support. They're on their own, you know, and I don't want to overuse the word journey, but they're on their own journey coming through the divisions under Mickey Hart and now going to an All-Ireland quarterfinal under Ger Brennan. They ran Dublin very close in the Leinster final. So, you know, while, you know, I was happy with the draw, I hope it doesn't come back to bite me on Monday morning and maybe Louth turn us over. But I think all things been equal, from a Donegal point of view, we'd have to be happy with the situation. But I agree with you, Jim won't take anything for granted. He'll have his homework done. I personally think that this Donegal team, with the amount of power and pace it has, is perfect for Louth. And I think we have too many tools that Louth won't be able to cope with. And I think we should come out, I'm not going to say very comfortably, but I think we should come out comfortably enough.
And the way Donegal play their football, Croke Park, I'm sure, will suit that. And Donegal will suit Croke Park. You would expect that the way they're playing their style of football at the minute, John?
Absolutely. And we've seen when Donegal went to Croke Park on previous occasions, you know, we have some very, very fast athletic players. If you look at the half-back line of Donegal alone, with Ryan McHugh, Keelan McGonigal and Pather Morgan, you would think Croke Park, they would just love that ground in front of them. Kieran Thompson likes the extra space. So we have a lot of athleticism in the team, even coming from the cornerback position. So the big open spaces of Croke Park will be very useful from an attacking perspective. It will be difficult because, you know, Louth will set up defensively and be very structured and very organised. So we'll have our work cut out to break them down. But you would think that Croke Park and the space, given the way that we play our football, and you look at some of the games we played this year, like against Derry and against Tyrone in the second day out, when we've got space, we're a very, very, very difficult team to deal with because we attack from various different areas in the field from various different people.
Yeah. So you have said that you feel that Donegal will have too many tools in the box for Louth than you expect them to come through. What about the other games? What about this Kerry-Derry game? Has Derry played too much football over the last number of weeks that will probably hinder them in the second game on Sunday? Or would you see it that they have more momentum get into the game than what Kerry would have?
I think Derry will give it a hell of a rattle, probably for 40 to 50 minutes. But I do think the games, particularly the one last weekend, which was very high intensity, extra time, et cetera, et cetera, the whole way down to penalties, while brought them a huge emotional high, you know, I felt sorry for the Derry players themselves because they got an awful lot of bad press, and I suppose rightly so because of the performances, but they didn't become bad footballers overnight. So that game will buoy them. I would say they would be upbeat at training this week, but I just think all those games back to back into extra time, the emotional roller coaster was the Mayo game. is probably going to be a bridge too far for them. Kerry, you know, have been waiting in the long grass. They haven't really been challenged this year, to be honest. So we don't know how good they are. I think Derry will, you know, be very defensive, make it very difficult, stay in the game as long as they can. But I just think the extra wear and tear of a very difficult championship for them, I think this Kerry game is a bridge too far for them.
Okay. John, I'm just thinking, the likes of Donegal, they have lost one game the entire year, and that was against Cork in the championship. If you look at Derry, Derry have lost three huge championship encounters this season so far in a very short period of time. But Derry have a chance to make a semi-final. And say it happens that Donegal lost on Sunday. Is there a fairness then in the championship?
Well, I suppose with sports, there's nothing fair. You know, every day you're judged on how you perform and the result goes the way it goes. I suppose I remember back in the day, you know, when if you lost three championship games, you would have been out of the championship 3 years in a row. There was no back door. There was no anything else. So the GAA is constantly evolving. What I think the backdoor system in the new group stages is it threw up some great games that we wouldn't have had. I don't think it's ultimately fair if, for example, Derry managed to do the unimaginable and went on and won an All-Ireland. But then we said the same thing about Tyrone. Tyrone lost championship matches and then went through the back door and won an All-Ireland. So I don't think it's fair, but it's what we have right now. And ultimately, Donegal can't be looking at Derry and what's fair and what's not fair. Every team has to mind their own house and get their own result. And that's ultimately what's going to come down to at the weekend.
And the other two matches, Armagh play Roscommon, Dublin against Galway. Is it teed up here that maybe the two sides that have progressed straight to the quarterfinals are going to come through these games and say in Armagh and Dublin?
I think that's fair. I think, you know, after the Louth draw, I think Armagh would be very, very happy with the Roscommon draw. They know what they're about. Roscommon haven't had a great championship, even though they got a result unexpectedly last weekend. But ultimately, this Tyrone team hasn't been going well. It's, you know, it's been hot and cold. You know, we really seen them at their probably worst against Donegal, and Donegal really ran them off the park that day in Balbuffet. What was a great Donegal performance. So you'd anticipate that Armagh should have enough to get through. But then you run into the whole mentality of the situation where Armagh haven't got over the quarterfinal stage. This is a huge game for them. They were incredibly impressive against Derry a couple of weeks ago. So they've been blowing hot and cold. But ultimately, and you were at the Ulster final as well as I was, Oisin, Armagh could be Ulster champions as easy as Donegal. It was just a kick of a ball. So they're coming. They've rebounded from the disappointment of losing the Ulster final, and they've got their act together. They played poorly, I thought, against Galway and managed to get a result. So they're going to be difficult, but you'd anticipate that Roscommon won't be good enough to beat Armagh. And on the other side of the equation, I think Galway are going to run into the same problems that Derry have. This extra game has really put a strain on the resources. Shane Walsh came off with a hamstring last week. Comer's kind of half okay, half not okay. Finnerty's on one leg right now. So they've picked up an awful lot of injuries over the last couple of weeks. And I think the big ground of Croke Park is going to favour the Dubs. They've had a much cleaner route to the quarterfinals. Croke Park's going to suit them. Galway, just like the previous games, will make it as difficult as they can for as long as they can. But I just don't think they have enough to beat this Dublin team who are steadily growing into the championship.
Okay then, John, we look forward, of course, to the quarterfinals this weekend. And just finally, back to Donegal point of view, you seem to be confident that Jim McGuinness will guide his men across the line and return to an All-Ireland semi-final, which is hard to believe, for the first time in 10 years.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Like, we're on Jimmy's magical mystery tour this summer. You know, if you look at where we were this time last year, if you could have envisaged that we'd come straight out of Division 2, won the league title, go unbeaten in Ulster, won an Ulster title, lose one game all year up to this point, and be in an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and hopefully about to go into an All-Ireland semi-final. It's absolutely beyond everybody's wildest expectations, apart from Jim's, because I imagine Jim has driven that into the squad the whole way along the line. So it's been an incredible journey, and as I said a couple of weeks ago, Donegal people need to enjoy the journey. You never know where it's going to end. I would hope we'll have at least another one Sunday, but there's the way it is right now, there's nothing stopping this Donegal team with a little bit of luck going the whole way, and that's the mentality that Jim will have driven into them as well. So very exciting times.
Very exciting times, and we all hope that journey does not come to an end this weekend. There will, of course, be full live commentary here on Highland from the match this Sunday from Croke Park. I'll be joined in the seat by Brendan Devaney and Martin McHugh. John Gilday, many thanks for joining us this week in the preview. We appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No, brother Arson, thanks very much. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, it was Oisin Kelly speaking with John Gilday, looking ahead to this Sunday's big game in Croke Park against Louth. Well, Donegal's Pattern Mogan has been named the GAA Football Player of the Month for May. The St Nawes man was pivotal in Donegal's Ulster final win over Armagh in Clonus. Then he was also a key man in the win over Tyrone in the first game of the All-Ireland series. He chipped in with 3 points in Ballybofey that day and will no doubt be an important cog in Jim McGuinness's plans on Sunday. Now, just to stay with the GAA, there is also plenty of action here in the GAA All-County Leagues in Donegal this weekend. On Saturday, the big game in Division 1 is in regards to the relegation places as Neave Columba host Glenfinn at Park na Gael. Neave Columba currently occupy the relegation playoff spot as they sit third from bottom, but a win over Glenfinn would see them leapfrog out of that position with a game to play. St Michael's, they have it all to do as they battle relegation. They sit in one of the two automatic relegation places and travel to Kilcare on Saturday evening in desperate need of a win to avoid the drop. Bundoran, whose relegation fate has already been sealed, travel to play mid-table Glenswilly in search of their first win of a disappointing season. Iru Ballyshannon host unbeaten title chasers Neave Connell. A win for the Glenties men would see them go level on points and games played with Gidor, while St Unan's would also be level with those two on 18 points, but have already played all of their games. In the other game in Division 1 this weekend, Downings travel to Ballybofey to play Sean McCool's. All of those Division 1 games have a 7:30 throw-in time on Saturday evening. There's also games in Division 2 this weekend. Four Masters will look to go a step closer towards winning the league and put themselves on the brink of promotion as they go to Milford. Killy Beggs know that wins in their last two matches will guarantee them a playoff spot at the very least. They host Neave Warra. Termon will look to keep up their promotion chances as they go to strugglers na Rossa. In other games on Saturday, Ardrah play Clohanealy, Dunloe host Fanad Gaels, and Muff play near neighbours Buncrana. Those games are also at 7:30 on Saturday, but there is one game in Division 2 tomorrow night as Red Hughes will look to kickstart their season at home to St Nawes. In Division 3 on Saturday evening, the big game of the weekend is Carndonagh versus Neave Breage. Burt host Bottomside Pettigo, Urris travel to play Robert Emmetts, and Neave Columkill play Neave Padraig Clifford. The Senior Hurling Championship also continues tomorrow night. Buncrana make the trip to play Sean McCool's. Eirua host Satanta in Ballyshannon. St Unan's go to Carndonagh and Dunloe play Burt. In the Junior Hurling Championship, there's a local derby as St Unan's play Letterkenny Gaels and Satanta play Burt. All of those hurling fixtures get underway tomorrow at 8. Now it's time to turn our attention towards athletics, because this weekend we'll see the National Senior Championships taking place in Dublin on Saturday and Sunday. The North West do have a number of medal hopefuls, including the likes of Kelly McGrory, Mark English, who seems to be breaking records every time he runs recently, Roisin and Eilish Flanagan, James Kelly, Fintan Dewhurst and Summer Leckie, to name just a few. To get more of a rundown on what's expected at the Nationals this weekend, Oisin Kelly caught up with Highlands Athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal.
Well, Patsy, we'll start with Mark English. And I think it's fair enough to suggest that Mark English is in fantastic form heading into these Nationals. He's got his qualification for the Olympics, and it's now about building towards Paris over the next number of weeks and continuing that fine form. And he's hoping to do it this weekend, but he's got into these games in excellent condition, so he is.
He is indeed, Oisin, and you know, I had him initially entered in the 800 metres, and he requested then that he be entered in the 4. So he's entered in both the 4 and the 8. So I say there'll be a decision that he will make whether he pursues the 8, you know, because he's won so many 800 metre titles over the years, and he's capable, obviously, again, of doing that. But he may decide, and it's just a kind of a health warning about the whole thing, he may decide to do a 400 metres with a view to just getting a really, really, really fast run under his belt, you know, over a shorter distance. But that's a decision he'll make closer to the time.
Yeah, and there's obviously other meets coming up over the next couple of weeks. Patsy, is that something that he wants to do a few times over the next couple of weeks, or is it a case just a one-off if it happens?
No, well, it's an option. You know, it's an option, and the quality and the 400 metres would be good enough, you know, to extend them. So, you know, it would be interesting. You know, obviously Chris O'Donnell will be the favourite for that 400 metres event. Now, I'm not saying he'd won't do the 400 metres. I'm kind of keeping my cash close to my chest here, but everybody else is watching to see whether or not he's going to do the 8 or the 4, but I'm just throwing it out there that there's a possibility that he may do the 4.
Yeah, and I suppose with the pressures off him as well, Patsy, given the fact that he's now got that time for the Olympic Games in Paris, there's less pressure now over the next couple of weeks on him.
Well, you know, you can't kind of, you know, the answer to that really, Ashton, is you're always running under pressure. You know, he's the end form man, he's the favourite, he's everything, and he's the man that continually year and year and year took that pressure on board and done the business. And, you know, it's an unbelievable what he has achieved, both indoor and outdoor and at European level. So, you know, there's always going to be pressure. And yes, if he was even if he were to line up, he's a target. He's the absolute target, where he to line up in the 800 metres. So there is that little bit of pressure. And but he's well used to pressure. He's well used to dealing with pressure. And he is in great form. And he must have every confidence that he can control an 800 metre race at national level, most definitely.
Yeah. Kelly McGrory of Tyrconnell is also looking to be part of a relay team come the Olympic Games. So this is going to be a telling weekend for her, Patsy.
It is, you know, and you would have expected earlier in the season that we would be talking about 400 metre hurdles. You know, she has broken a Donegal record over 400 metre hurdles this year. But, you know, for her right now, everything's about the 400 metres you know, getting on that squad and being considered for that squad for the Olympic Games. And you know, and she'll be in serious company should she decide to run the 400, which I do believe she will at the weekend. So yes, she's targeting 400 metres and being on that squad for the Olympic Games. There's quite a lot of people lining themselves up for that, those spots. There's obviously four or five spots already gone. There's one spot there and still left, and that's the spot she's chasing. And you know, she has been in situ, so which has got to hang tight, because these, you know, selection for the Olympic Games is just going to be so sharp, you know, and you just don't drift into the team for the Olympic Games. So, you know, that's where the pressure is for her.
Moving on to the Flanagan twins, Roisin and Eilish. Patsy, what's expected of them in the 5,000 metres this weekend?
Well, again, you know, the medal, just to medal, because there's a girl called Jodie McCann, a Dublin girl, who I believe will probably win that. And they're in the 5,000 metres, and, you know, they're back home now. They've raced the race in Canada 10 days ago. And, you know, that's the first time they've raced for such a long time. They've been so unfortunate with injury, but they're home now. They want to give a few races in Europe a go. And obviously, I have them both entered for the 5,000 metres for the Nationals. And yes, they should be chasing medals. They're in and around 15-40 shape. That could be good enough for medals for both of them. But I'm kind of anticipating the need to get to win it. They need to beat this girl, Jodie McCann. And she's chasing an Olympic spot. And so, again, we're talking Olympic stuff again.
And there is, of course, lots of other Donegal competitors heading to the Nationals at the weekend. Patsy, there's 20-odd entered from Donegal, 10 possible medal hopes. Of the other Donegal competitors, who should we be keeping a close eye out for?
Well, you know, fortunately, it's a really good list. You know, you've got Summer Leckie, who's always been in the medals at national championships in recent years. You've Gareth Crawford, who similarly has been in the medals. Adrian Gallant from Lifford, a clubmate of Gareth Crawford. They're all going to be shouting for medals. And Lauren Callan from Finn Valley, and as is Brendan Boyce. So they'll all be looking for medals. And just to add to that, Joseph Gillespie in the triple jump, and Clinton Dewhurst from Tyrconnell in the hurdles, and James Kelly will be in there as well. There are others. There are many others, but they'll be looking for performances rather than medals. But you know, if we were to get 10, 11 medals, but I've kind of put this line down in the sand where, you know, if we cross the 10 medal threshold, you know, we're doing good. And I have a list in front of me here which suggests to me, as of this Wednesday, that we can hit 10 medals. So I'll be relating to that a good bit over the weekend to see how we're doing there. And that'll be a positive because we have had some very good national championships over the years, and we've had some very poor national championships. But we seem to be in a situation right now where we are in a serious position to chase 10 medals.
Yeah. Just finally, I might go back to the Olympics, Patsy. Obviously, we mentioned Mark and the likes of Kelly McGrory, but in the grander scheme of things, in the broader, I suppose, picture, there is several Irish athletes who are looking to rubber stamp their place in Paris. So many of those this weekend are involved in action that are looking to do that.
I would anticipate they'll all be in action, every one of them. At the moment, the athletic story for the Olympic Games in Paris at the moment, Roisin, is there's about 10 athletes qualified. There's plus two relay teams. And there are others who are there or thereabouts on the ranking lists. But ranking lists can change over the next period, you know. So, you know, they get points, and they even get points this weekend. So basically people will be chasing points this weekend. All the European national championships for all countries are held this weekend. So this is a weekend that's blanked out for national championships all over Europe. So there will be standards, there will be stats coming through from everywhere this weekend. So there'll be a lot of people fretting. And but at the moment, Ireland is about 10 athletes qualified through the qualification process, including Mark, of course. And then they have the two relay teams. So that's the Irish athletic story at the moment. And there are others this weekend who will be pursuing ranking points and indeed standards, but very difficult to have a standard in the national championship. You know, they would need a bigger quality race, but they'll be chasing, most definitely chasing ranking points, and there are about six athletes in that position.
Okay, Patsy, we wait to see how the weekend develops. A very exciting few days ahead on the athletics front, and in particular for the Donegal athletes. Fingers crossed we can hit that 10 medal mark. Listen, Patsy, enjoy the action over the weekend, and we'll be speaking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Roisin. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was Highland Radio's athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, talking to Oisin Kelly ahead of the National Athletics Championships this weekend. Ciara McGeehan says she's prioritising her recovery as she skips this weekend's event. The European 1500-metre gold medalist is preparing for next month's Olympic Games instead. Rashida Adeleke will compete in Santry this weekend, but in the 100 metres. Charlene Maudsley comes down to 200 metres, but Sophie Becker, Phil Healy and Lauren Caden could all do battle in the 400 metres. And now, just briefly before we finish, we'll have a look at the weekend's cricket fixtures. On Saturday, there's action in the Northwest Premier League. In Section 1, Coleraine play Eglinton. Ardmore play New Buildings. Brigade take on Brady. And Donnymana go to Killiecluny. Section 2 sees the meeting of Glendermot and St Johnson. Strabane go to Bonds Glen. The Ned welcome Fox Lodge, and Ballyspallin play Burn Dennett. Well, that's it for the Score programme this evening. Thank you very much for listening. I have been your host, Mark Gallagher. A big thank you to all of our guests this week, and we will be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday evening. Have a great weekend.